Hi there. Welcome to How Did They Get There? I'm your host, Sean Pensa. Today, really excited to talk to my guest, Max Azoulay. First got to know, you know, more about his work through Five Doctors, which is the feature. Came out in that 2016 year, but I didn't see it then. I saw it in the 2020s. I think it was 2020. But yeah, Five Doctors. I saw that because it's through Gravitas, which is the distribution. I saw it in Epix. Now Epix is MGM Plus. MGM Plus. It's like Paramount. Everything is a plus. All right. Let's get to the meat of this, which is the talk with Max. I liked it. I thought it was fun. We talked a lot about kind of the themes that governed his feature, anxiety, common thread. We talked about like how autobiographical it was. It's kind of interesting, you know, because it's not necessarily, but there's a lot of thematic similarities. And I don't know. It kind of makes you think, like, is anything that you write autobiographical, like to some degree? I don't know. There's like, it kind of makes it relatable. It makes it intriguing. It makes it interesting. You know, it's kind of interesting. Like, speaking of threads, one of the things we talked about is this sense of collaboration that he has. I mean, he tends to collaborate with, I think, similar folks like Matt Porter. I mean, he wrote and directed his feature with him and acted in it. And it's kind of interesting. You see the yin and yang, which is his anxiety, his level of, you know, not being able to confront his family. And I mean, confront is a strong word, but let's say come into contact with, which is probably even more you know, serious or severe, whatever you want to call it. But then there's the element of, you know, like the therapist friend. And I mean, he doesn't necessarily play a therapist, Matt Porter's character, that is, but he does in terms of the role that he tends to occupy in their friendship, you know? So I also saw a lot of his short films. Like, I think Five Doctors was the bridge towards all his short films, and they're shot very beautifully. Like, I really enjoyed watching them. There's Lenny, which is about him getting fired by this chick who's like super young, which is funny. And then there's Xander, which is about a clown. I mean, clowns are polarizing. I don't really know how I feel about them either. That's not true. I do know how I feel about them. But it's short film is like, it's just about being talked off a ledge, you know? It's about drowning. It's kind of interesting and cool. So then there's another one, which is One Mutual Friend. Like, very beautifully done. Pizza's involved, and that's great. You can't really go wrong with pizza. There's subway sequences. There's scenes in an apartment. I think in multiple apartments. It's about like the one that got away, you know? I mean, who would have thought that through Venmo, you could learn about that and you could have a feeling about that. And it's also about friendship. It's like similar to the Five Doctors thing of like having someone that's around that you can talk to, that's comforting. But that being said, I don't think they're actually friends, like not at the beginning. So it's different. But similar. All right, what else is there that I saw? Carlman and Moody, I saw that. I like that picture. It's a short film. Short films are pictures. Short pictures, but it's not. It's like, it feels broad in a sense. I mean, it's not just about kleptomania, which is like the backdrop. It is about the relationship between two people, whom I found out actually, you know, when we talked, that they're actually, you know, together, which is interesting. Like, that's another dynamic, you know, another type of relationship. And we just talked about, again, that in the context of collaboration. Like, I thought when he said that he was going to make a feature with her, that it was going to be like Carmen and Mooney 2 or something, but it's not. I think Carmen and Mooney 2 would be awesome. I actually think Six Doctors would be fun to see. But yeah, I think the project is going to be different, which is fine. It's good. Anyway, someone in Carbon and Mooney who was also in Five Doctors, Peter Friedman, who's great. He was in Succession, bunch of shows, bunch of films, very legendary actor. And then another actor was Bobby Moynihan, who's funny. I feel like Five Doctors had tons of comedians, like Eddie Pepitone, too, who's, you know, fantastic. So lots of great comic talent, very funny. That actually, I learned that he shot that in his high school, which is cool. So anyway, what did we talk about in the talk? That's redundant. Talked about anxiety. Talked about, like, going into the city because he lived in New York, but he wasn't in the city. And just the evolution of experiences that brings. Talked about living in L.A., which is cool. We talked about going to school in L.A. and talked about the massive influence and place in his life that comedy occupied, particularly the films of Mel Brooks and all his work. The internet, which is a prevalent theme in our society. Talked about Blockbuster, because why not? Blockbuster's awesome. I actually brought that one up. Talked about collaborating with his partner, who's Kate Adams, who starred in Carmen and Mooney, and I don't know, just the journey and the process of, like, making a feature together, working on that, thinking about that, the storming of the brains, mini DV, what else did we talk about? Bunch of stuff. It was fun. It was cool. It was interesting. Enjoyed it, as I mentioned. And I think you will. I mean, I think. So let's see how it goes, right? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Can you hear me okay? I was worried about my glitchiness, but I think we're good.
Yeah, so you had a Wi-Fi?
I had a small Wi-Fi issue, but I think we're good. I think if you can hear me now, if there's any, you know, moments of it getting glitchy, just let me know. But it seems to be working.
Yeah, I just want to put it out there for everyone that Max said that he was having a Wi-Fi issue, and I was very accommodating about it. I provided some alternatives to help mitigate the issues, and there's no glitchiness at the moment. So thanks for coming on.
Of course.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm in LA. Nice. It's raining. So I hope you like a little rain soundscape in the background.
Yeah, I can see, is that tree? There's some greenery.
There's definite greenery, but it's very gray. And yeah, I can for your.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like it kind of looks like you're in Portland.
It has, there's a Portland-esque vibe to it.
I'm in New York and it's sunny behind me. Can you see
that's amazing. I see that it just is sort of, you know, just like, there we go.
Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
See, if I had a less shitty camera, you could see
that's
across.
Nice. That's really nice. Yeah, I think nice. That we should, we're,
can we just
we're
keep
sort
it
of
there.
yeah. We're breaking some, you know, priors about New York and LA, because I'm in basically a monsoon and you're in it looks frankly glorious.
It is glorious. I feel like it's the first day that it's been like this. How long has it been like that over there?
It gets really rainy. February is kind of like a rainy season, and I'm fairly new to LA. I'm figuring it all out, but it's rainy. It seems to be very rainy on this time of year.
You came from New York?
Yes.
Is that where it all began?
It's where it all began. Now, have we started? Are we recording?
We've started.
Okay.
We've started. We were easing into it. I mentioned the Wi-Fi because I wanted to, I wanted to ease into it comfortably. I wanted to establish some rapport. And I feel like we've been doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I feel connected.
Yeah, and you opened with a glitchiness, so you cast some light on the issues, and then I added to it. So yeah, so it all started in New York, in New York City.
So I'm from I am from just north of the city, so suburbs of New York City. It's a town called Hastings on Hudson, small town on the Hudson River.
Okay.
And
We just saw the Hudson right behind me.
I knew I felt at home. I knew I felt like I would, you know, I felt immediately comfortable. But so Hastings on Hudson, it's like a 40-minute train ride, you know, to New York. You know, just very much small suburban town. But New York City was definitely a big presence growing up, like going into the city. And, you know, that was, you know, I'm very aware of the looming, city.
How far away were you?
It was about, you know, about a 40-minute train.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Did you take that? Did you take the train to the city and stuff a lot?
I did. You know, I did. We definitely, it would be kind of a weekend thing. Like, let's go to New York and explore. Yeah.
What did you do? How did you explore the city?
How did I explore?
Yeah. Did you see music? Did you get into some trouble?
Good question.
Yeah.
There was definite trouble. I mean, not really getting into trouble in a really exciting way, but there was sort of a, you know, you get to that age where you can, you know, either drink or right before you can drink, you're kind of in the late teenage, you know, be a thing of like, let's go to the city and just kind of be rambunctious or like, let loose a little bit, but it was in a tame way. We were kids. It was like, we had to be back by the 1 a.m. you know, Metro North train back to the, you know, Hastings, or else we'd be stranded there all night and have to call our parents to pick us up. So, you know, it's the limits of rambunctiousness or, you know, but yeah, the city was always fun and seeing movies, seeing music. I mean, the town itself is very much like a commuter town. So my dad would go into the city to work and, you know, it's like a very kind of just beautiful little town, but everyone's going into the city every day. Everyone's parents, everyone's going into the city every day to work. So it has that feel of like, people wouldn't be here if not for,
it's like a functional place. So what did your dad do in the city to work?
My dad is a computer programmer.
Yeah. Okay. How are you with that stuff, like with computers? I mean, well, the Wi-Fi, wasn't an issue.
Yeah. No, I never understood what my dad did. I still don't. I have no idea what he does. I'm totally confused. It's sort of one of those things where it's like, he just sort of omits, like he didn't even really, at a certain point, he's like, I'm not even going to bother to tell you or your mom or sister what I did. Like, I'm just, I work in computers. It's too complicated. It's like, and I'm sure that was, it's hard for him because it's hard, you know, you want to connect with your family about like what you do every day, but like we just,
he connected by putting food on the table, I guess. That was,
That was a connection. That was a definite connection, but you know, it was sort of there's definitely a knowledge gap there for me. I'm not really a technical person.
You're technical to some degree, like you shot things, obviously. And you're technical, like in that way, right? Like
I've left that stuff to other people a lot of the time. So my interests are very much in the sort of the writing and the, you know, the directing and the just pure creative kind of daydreamy aspects of.
That's technical shit. Writing can be technical.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to have a sort of knowledge of that stuff, but it's interesting. Yeah. Because he's so technical. What he does, you know, so it's an interesting kind of gap.
What planted the seed for like to write and to direct? Like, so you grew up in kind of a suburban place? Like that's where you grew up outside of going to the city?
Yeah. I grew up in a suburban place. Can I ask you how you found, you know, what I'm like, we jumped right in, which I like, I'm into it, but I'm also just curious, like where you're sort of coming from in terms of my work, because, you know, it is, you know, I just for context, I'm curious. And if you want to keep it a secret,
it's not a secret. I'm kind of interested that you're interested in that. That's an interesting thing, but I think it was through, I think Five Doctors.
Okay.
The Doctor okay. movie. The Five Doctors
yeah, yeah,
movie.
Yeah,
and today's yeah. today's Doctor's Day, by the way. Did you know that?
Wow. Happy
today's Doctor's International Day. Doctor's Day. Thanks. No,
so we're
I
celebrating
think,
doctors.
Yeah, we're celebrating doctors everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, but that's I think that was what planted the seed in your mm-hmm. work. And then mm-hmm. Yeah, it came across like a lot of other stuff. So that's what
that's
the thing was. I think I saw it. Let's see, where did I see it? I saw it on, well, it's through Gravitas, right? That was
yes,
the,
yes.
That was the That's distribution. Right. So mm-hmm, I saw it through mm-hmm. that. I think it was on, it was like on Epix for a while.
Right.
Did you know that?
Right.
Yeah. You knew that.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. It was, yeah. I of was course, aware you knew that. That's so cool, yeah. though. I'm so glad you saw it that way.
Yeah. So are you satisfied with my response? Should I elaborate further on which doctors
well,
resonated?
I would love that. I would love that. No, I'm not asking because I'm sort of like, I didn't mean to be, I'm just
you're not,
curious.
You're not being intrusive. No, I know.
No, I'm so curious because, you know, there's a lot of, I've made a lot of stuff. I've put a lot yeah. of stuff out there and you just don't really know, you know, mm-hmm. what connects with people and what people have seen. It's always so interesting to sort of, you know, there's a, you know, just the internet, right? Like people
yeah.
find stuff and,
well, for me, it was through like yeah. my television. But I,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
what you mean.
Right.
Same
I got
thing.
You. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just helpful. But okay. So Five Doctors. Yeah. Well, so that's helpful too in the sense that that we shot that in where I grew up. So that's the town
oh,
I grew up in. So that's yeah. very much like you've seen it, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can taste yeah. it. That's the town. And yeah. So that. So it was yeah. So suburbs. So like that's it. You know, it's
suburban.
It's very, very, very suburban, and it's on the Hudson. So the river is like kind of glistening in the background, very pretty.
Man, the Hudson River is like massive. I kind of don't realize sometimes how big.
Yeah,
it
goes. It is. Yeah, it's and there's a lot of these river towns. Like you know, mm-hmm. you keep going north out of the city. Like you'll find, you know, there's sort of a string of them. And Hastings is kind of just above Yonkers, which is you know. Just
oh yeah.
But
so it's, you kind of knew everybody yeah. growing up that was around.
Yeah,
you
know exactly. You know everybody. Oh, wow. You know you really know everybody. It's a tiny sort of a tiny incestuous
enclave.
Place. Yeah,
incestuous. Yeah, yeah I kind of craved that growing up because I always moved and I always moved to like different cities. But mm-hmm. I always thought it was cool. Like I'd go to school, like high school or middle school, or whatever, like a different place, and then I'd see these like people that I was going to school with, and some of them just like lived in the same town forever. And mm-hmm. it's like they had this built-in community and everyone knew everyone. And I felt like yeah. such an outsider. It was so hard. It was, I just had to like constantly adapt. It's kind of
yeah,
a drag.
It is a drag because you have that sort of feeling of like, how do I fit in? Do these people
yeah,
know
exactly.
me? Am I alone? I mean, and the flip side to that, of course, is like you almost it would have been nice to be able to sort of, reinvent myself or try new things or like, hey, be, you know, meet people who didn't know me since I was, you know, like, you know, in diapers, you know, basically. So it's a weird, mm-hmm. like it's a give and take, but there's also yeah. sort of just this, everyone becomes your family in a way. Right. So it's like,
yeah.
it's nice in that way, but there's a lot of just everyone knowing everything about you.
Right. I guess you could reinvent yourself when you went to the city. But that doesn't really, but that's not where you live. So it's like, you
no,
come back,
I could,
it's like back to reality.
It is back to reality. I didn't like go to the city and like have an alter ego and like kind of put yeah. on a costume. I mean, that would have been cool. I wish I had thought of that. I mean, there was a little bit of like my friends and me going to the city and being like, yeah, we're kind of free now. I mean, I would play music with a friend in the city sometimes and we'd sort of do little shows and open mics and stuff. And that felt kind
oh,
of
wow.
adventurous, but it wasn't really a feeling of reinventing myself or like having some kind of, you know, escape from the town. I think that came later when I went, you know, just left, but it, yeah, it's, yeah, it was not a lot of like room to change, I guess is what's coming to me right now. Like you kind of are, you're pigeonholed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. But I feel like when you went to the city, like maybe that's not, it's almost the opposite of reinventing yourself. It's almost like realizing yourself in a way that you
right.
can't in the small, like Hastings, almost like yeah. pseudo river town, as you're describing it. All right. So then,
yeah.
so you're there, you're going to the city, and you're getting rambunctious, you're getting in some trouble. taking the train back, which is like almost an hour. And then what, like, was it, because in the Doctors movie, in the Five Doctors movie, I think that opens with you. Was that actually you in high school? No, you
Was it? Yes, yes. So I was always, you know, I've always known sort of what I wanted to do. I was always kind of the movie kid. Mm-hmm. I was always I was kind of a performer. I was always on stage. A lot of that movie is, you know, autobiographical in a way. Like that was more an outlet of like, I was the funny kid. I was a performer. Yeah. I was on stage. I was always making movies with friends, you know, on the weekends and stuff.
What were the movies that like that that I'm not going to use the word the phrase plant the seed again. What were the movies that did it? What were the movies that you were interested in?
Well, when I was 9 years old, I really discovered Mel Brooks. The producers really kicked it off for me. It was like, wow, this mm-hmm. is just this is like everything I want to live inside of. This is so funny, so free, so crazy. I didn't get half of it. I was nine, but my dad showed my grandma and dad, you know what it was? There was like a, there was a TV special that he was featured in. And then we watched the movie. And then that was like, wow, I became very into these old Jewish comedians and comics and comedy writers. And that was I was obsessed. I really became obsessed with those guys.
Yeah. And like Carl Reiner,
yeah. Neil Simon, Mel, you know, as a kid, wow. I was just so into that stuff, and I still, you know, I still love it. But it's funny; it was like a funny obsession for a child. And then that planted the seed. It was comedy; like comedy was like, you know, whole sort of Borscht Belt comedy for whatever reason. And I weirdly found other kids who were also into that stuff. Like it sounds like esoteric, or it sounds like the weird kid, but there were other kids out there who were like also consuming this, you know, and it wasn't just Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. It was like Saturday Night Live, you know, you know, Monty Python and what else? I mean, we were into broad comedy and
like Sid Caesar. There's like the Catskills comedy, right?
Well, the Catskills is, not that far from where I grew up. Of course, what you're referring to was like, you know, the early kind of the, you know, 40s and 50s and the comedy. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole other era, but you'd read about it and it was interesting. Yeah. And so other kids and finding kind of a little community of other kids into movies and comedy. We were weird, you know, we were kind of weird kids. I think there was I had a few friends who also had sort of an intense drive to make stuff, to write, to make stuff, to like watch, to consume stuff. And and that was a place I felt very comfortable. And I think it gave me a lot of confidence. Like I know about this stuff. I know about movies. I know about comedy. I know how to make people laugh and stuff. But like, it was confidence in one area, and then the rest of my life was sort of like, you know, just
catching up with it.
Yeah, feeling a little bit like a misfit and using that stuff to paper over those other feelings.
It's good that you had a community, like you had like-minded people.
I had some other friends who we were really into it. We all had cameras. We'd spend the weekends making stuff and not, you know, talking to girls. Let's make Sid Caesar, you know, type, you know, variety show as opposed to, you know, making just friends with, as opposed to playing sports.
Did you show your movies to girls to try to, you know, like as a calling card?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think about that.
Sounds like a no. If you have to think about it.
Yeah, I was wondering whether to lie. No, you caught me. The answer is definitely no. I think that I used humor to get attention, but in terms of showing my movies, the one that's coming to me, we made a movie called One Tough Jew, which was about a rabbi who kind of becomes an action hero, an action star. And I remember the big line, I would look in the camera and go, "Are you fetching at me?" instead of "Are you talking to me?" You know, Travis Bickle. But I don't think I ever showed that to a girl. And if I did, I think it would have been a big issue.
Did you
has scandal in the town?
Has Scorsese seen it? Did you show it to? Did you screen
it
for him?
I showed it to Marty, and he quickly called security in. But no, I you know, yeah, there that was a big thing for me, was making crazy stuff with my friends. Yeah, definitely. It's interesting.
One tough
to reflect on. One
have
tough
you,
Jew.
Have you have you revisited?
Have I revisited that one?
Yeah.
Well, only in my mind, only in my dreams.
Dreams.
I haven't, I don't know where it is. It's on some mini DV tape out there. I don't know if you,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's on some, I don't know if I, you know, it's on, it might be on a hard drive somewhere.
Oh, you gotta, like, you gotta digitize that.
Yeah. I'd love to do that.
So then, so you're doing that. And then, and in high school, you were like the guy at the beginning of the movie. So you were like in plays, and you were like fucking around, getting attention, being funny. And I then, was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing that. And my family life was a little, you know, was sort of overwhelming. And, you know, I had some, there was some mental and, and physical illness in my family. So there was a lot of anxiety and stress at home. And I think I used the comedy and the performing as a way to cope.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until later that I sort of thought to myself, how do I not be so split off and combine these? You know, I was very kind of compartmentalized, like stress at home, anxiety, worries, go to school, be funny, be on stage, be performing. Like, you know, there was sort of like a weird, you know, in me split,
like a split
around that stuff. A split, but I will say it was so helpful to have that coping, like, you can, you know, just be free and funny and whatever, and people see you that way. But it took a while to
get there,
sort of to kind of embody, feel embodied in all of it.
Yeah, and it feels like, I mean, maybe, yeah, at first it felt like you were splitting off, or like you had this double life, but then eventually, I mean, it seems like you found a way to integrate it. Right. And like integrate the two lives into one.
That's the goal. And I'm still obviously working on that. I think that's a lifelong thing, but it was extreme growing up. I didn't feel very integrated. And I think now as I get older and stuff, I work on it, I can feel it and reach more. And I do feel more integrated, but yeah, when you're young, it's like, I don't even know you're just so desperate to, you know, not feel alone, not, you know, to have friends, to have a community, that it's like, I'll do anything I can. I'm not going to examine this stuff too much. I'm just going to do what's getting me validation and attention. So, but it was also a legitimate love for movies and, you know, I love, you know, I was passionate, you know, so.
What SNL cast were you like, were you watching?
Years? I think what years would have been, I don't know that I was staying up to watch SNL. I think it was like, you know, watching it, you know, tapes and like, but it was honestly all eras. Remember there was like those best of tapes. So you'd have like the best of Eddie Murphy, the best of Mike Myers. You know, I'd rent those and I'd kind of, and I had a few books. I was getting best of Billy Crystal. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And there's the books.
I had some books. I definitely had some books, and you know, and there was one that was like sort of a lot of pictures of the different seasons. So you'd go and you kind of go in there and be like, "Oh man, this looks. I want to see that sketch." And this is before YouTube or anything. Like, so it was just like, maybe it'll come on TV sometime, or maybe I'll find it on some VHS somewhere. And you know, it was kind of the kind of scavenger hunt piece of stuff back then was sort of exciting. You know, I remember SNL coming on like Comedy Central and being like, what's this episode going to be? It was you had to go out and find this stuff. And that was exciting.
Yeah. There was no, like, there was no guy, like on-screen guy. There wasn't an info button. You didn't know what to expect. You didn't know what the sketches would be. You didn't know about like cameos that would arise. Like, hey, look, it's whatever, Steve Martin coming in this like obscure sketch that I didn't expect. And like, I miss that, man. I miss going to the video store. Like, I miss going to Blockbuster and like talking to the dude or whoever it was behind the counter, and like, I don't know, that's gone.
It really is. it really is gone. I mean, there's little pockets of it. I'm in LA, yeah. And there's equivalent, you know, there are things where you can find these communities of mm-hmm. freaks and people, but yeah, that also just exploring the aisles and like, what's this and what's that? And like renting yeah. it. And you had to be deliberate about your choice. It wasn't like, I'm going to rent something and like watch 10 minutes of it.
I know.
Roll yeah. on my phone. It was like, this is my night, you know, cause I don't have nothing else. I mean,
yeah, so, you're like invested.
You're invested. Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then that's the comedy season. What about Woody Allen?
I would yeah, huge. I mean, it's you know, he's a bit tough to talk about because, you know, but I am a huge, I mean, yeah, Woody Allen was a huge fan and mm-hmm. all his movies, really. I mean, when I was a kid, I want to say, you know, the early kind of 70s ones were big, but I remember he has different eras.
Yeah.
You know, I was always into like all the eras.
Manhattan,
Annie Hall. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're all so many great movies and his books and his,
yeah
just such a pro. I mean, even just how prolific and like the, and the,
prolific despite
and the variety.
Right. Prolific despite.
Yeah.
Can't say that about some people. Can't really say that about Cosby. But you can't say that about Woody.
That's true. Yeah.
There's Cosby, a lot of despites now. All right. Yeah, it came out. All right. So you're doing that and then you're making movies. You're in high school. You're not really fitting in. There's issues, obviously, right? And then what happens in high school? Like, is there like a moment where you're like, I'm doing this, and it's like, sorry, Dad, I'm not going to be a computer programmer. Like, I'm doing this. Did you feel supported by your family?
I do. My mom, so there are, you know, that's an interesting thing because my mom is a writer and a teacher. She has she teaches a sort of after school class for kids, which is all about creativity and making stories out of found objects, junk, trash.
Oh, interesting.
And she wrote a book. She wrote a memoir. She's a writer. I'd say creativity was very valued in my family, like kind mm-hmm. of, I mean, you know, in a way above other things. So there wasn't like a lot of, despite my dad's technical skills, there wasn't a lot of like, here's how you, you know, use a lawnmower or some shit like that. It was like, here, let's talk about, you know,
Woody Allen.
Prolific despite. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about why.
That was before the despite.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about Woody Allen. Let's, you know, let's take you to the Paley Center to, you know, watch Mel Brooks videos. Like, and so I think that I grew up with a lot of support around it, but in a way I had to find, and this is a theme with the integrating thing, I had to find mm-hmm. the kind of like, the practical side of it on my own in a way, because it was it was just sort of like, it was like a little bit of a chaotic creative upbringing. I think a lot, and I know your show is a lot about like, you know, how people do what they do and find career, you know, and I think that practicality is something that I know a lot of artists struggle with, because we're not the most like we, you know, just to like, you have a lot of ideas, but how do you sit down and like do it in a way that has any kind of structure or that kind of thing. So
technical. Sure.
So I had, you know, so that, but they were supportive. I was always making movies. I always kind of knew what I wanted to do. And then ultimately I went to college and majored in film. So, there was a support.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Occidental College out here.
Oh, wow. But Pasadena, right?
Yeah. Well, it's right near Pasadena. Yeah. And it's,
I applied there.
Oh, you applied there. Yeah. Well, did you visit it?
I did visit Pasadena. I did visit that area a little bit, but I didn't see the school. Yeah.
Right.
But I know about it. So that's where Obama went.
That's right. For 2 years. And he got the hell out of there.
And he came to over here to Columbia.
And that's where you're at, right?
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. That's great. It's great.
It is pretty great. It's great sometimes. It's all right.
Yeah.
Wait, but it's all right.
Sure. It's fine.
So then Occidental, are they good at sports? No.
There's a football team. There's sports teams. I don't know how good they are, frankly. Like, I'm sure they're fine. You know, I'm sure they're fine. And Right. I think Columbia is probably a little better. I don't know why. That's just my guess. I just have a feeling. I think if Obama went there, he probably was thinking to himself, I need better teams.
Yeah, that's why he came.
Yeah, that's why he came. Mm. But
why do you think he left? Occidental, like, it seems like LA and Pasadena, it seems nice.
Well, I think he really just smoked a lot of weed at Occidental. And then when he kind of sobered up, he was like, I got to get out of here. Because there's a lot of pictures of him kind of looking really like high around the campus. You know, it's like,
what's his face? Ben Affleck went there, right?
I think Ben Affleck also transferred out. I think there's a lot of people who went, you know, there's also a part of my story where I actually went to, for 1 year, I went to Sarah Lawrence College, which is, and the reason I went there is because both my parents went there and met there. And I didn't get really into any schools except for that one because of the lineage in out of high school.
Yeah.
And also I think they were desperate for men to go, frankly. I think that all they read my first name and they said he's in full scholarship. But
how was that for you?
It was really bad. It was really bad. I know that recently there's a whole, you know, I don't know if you've seen this whole cult.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so sad. It's terrible.
Yeah. It's a horrible story. I wasn't exposed to that, but it was just too, so close to home. It was like, it was a rough time for me with stuff going on at home. So transferring out was big, but, I transferred into Occidental. I kind of did the reverse Obama, I like to say.
Yeah.
How
was that? How was that transition? Did you like Pasadena? Did you like that area? What's the area called exactly? If it's not Pasadena,
it's called Eagle Rock.
Oh yeah. Okay. So it's around like Glendale, right?
Yeah. It's near, it's very near where I am right now, which is Highland Park. And, it's East LA. And, just kind of a small, college town, Eagle Rock, although it's, you know, now it's a little more built up than when I went, I liked it. I really liked it. I liked being away. I liked being in the sun. I liked being away from my family and getting some, you know, freedom. And, and I think that's really where I started to kind of make stuff. Now I was always making, so Five Doctors, for instance, I made with, two guys, one of which my friend Phil, who also went to Columbia, he and I grew up together. So it was like, we had this little production company, call it that, that was going on throughout, even when I was in college, we sort of started it at the end. And so I was making stuff with these guys, even when I was in LA and they were in New York, we were always writing scripts together. We were kind of building, making, and we'd shoot, you know, things when I came home or when during the summer. So there was always this extracurricular, like filmmaking piece, you know? And Matt Porter. Yep. And he and I, ultimately that's the team we made, you know, the feature together, but, that was a lifeline, like when I was away, cause it was far. I mean, it was far from home. Yeah.
All right. So you're doing that, you're at Occidental, and then you keep making film, movies, and it seems like you have like a tight, like you're pretty tight with those guys still, right? Would you say? Oh, your sound just cut off. Now it's hard because I think you're trying to say stuff, but I can't hear you.
Maybe I'll come in and out.
Oh, now you're in. Now you're
okay. In. Yeah, I think if it cuts out, it's just for a minute, but can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I was just going to say, I am tight with them still, and collaborating is hard, but you know, it's, we've managed to stay friends.
Yeah.
Even, you know, we've been through, I've collaborated with a lot of different people, and there's ups and downs for sure.
Yeah. Like any, relationship, friendship, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Okay. So then what was like, before Five Doctors, you made a lot of short films, right? Mm-hmm. Was that your first feature that you worked on that you made?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What were some of the notable short films? Because I've seen a bunch of your short films.
Cool.
But I don't know if they're before or after, like Lenny and The Mutual Friend one.
Those are, I think those are both after.
What about the clown one? Is that one before?
No, that's after? Very recent. Yeah, that's recent.
Okay.
The last few years, pandemic. Doctors, I think we made, so there was one called, there's one called The Homage, which is me. I don't know. You were looking, these are, I don't know if any of these are on my site.
But I don't know.
You know, Matt Phil and I made a bunch of shorts. And we sort of were honing that part of like telling stories that were about real people going through stuff, but doing it in a funny, kind of funny way. Like finding the tone. I think the tone was really the big thing around short films for me. Like, sort of figuring that out. And then also figuring out how to maybe make something bigger. Like exploring that, right? We made a lot of short films, and then it was let's just try to make a feature and see what that looks like.
Okay. And your hometown, going back.
Yeah.
All right. Was that your high school?
That's my, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yep. All right. Okay.
It's really, and my real sister at the end there.
Oh, wow. She was taking out garbage. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
She's always been good at that.
That wasn't your mom though, was it?
No. Okay. My mom is in it. She is in it. And I'm blanking on who she plays, which I don't know why. She plays a receptionist.
All right. Now she can listen to this.
Which is not that flattering, but she was great. She wasn't right for my real mom. Just didn't seem believable.
Now she can't listen to this.
No, definitely not.
No,
in fact, I don't think anyone should.
Yeah, but
my dad's in it too. He plays my uncle.
Is your uncle, huh? Who's your uncle? Let me see if I can remember. Your uncle, because Eddie Pepitone was in it, but Matt Porter's dad, right?
Absolutely, yeah. He was great. It was really an experience. You know, I don't know if you saw, but my girlfriend Kate Adams and I made a short film together.
That was the
Carmen and Mooney.
I saw that.
It's like, let me learn how to do this. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't. Out again? We didn't get that. All right.
Okay.
So you have a girlfriend. That's great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, get out there.
Man, if only your dad was here to help with the programming. All right.
Is it cutting out a lot, or are we okay right now?
No, this is the second time. Let's watch it. It'll be all right.
All right. Kate and I made a short film.
Yeah.
We're currently trying to, we're in the early stages of writing a feature that we'd like to make.
Okay.
And Matt may be involved as well. But what I'm trying to say is, before I cut out, was simply that making a first feature was sort of like going to school and really learning how to do it. And that's how it felt. It was educational. Okay. And it was a lot of trial and error. It's hard work, but now I feel like I'd really love to do it again and do it, you know, use what I learned.
Yeah.
It's a big task, the journey.
Yeah. Where do you feel like you learned the most from Five Doctors?
There's two. I learned. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I learned too many things I couldn't kind of sum that up in one.
Okay.
But I learned, I think, I think on a storytelling level, I think I learned to really, I'll say this. The first cut of that movie was like 3 hours long. And now it's 90 minutes or something. But I remember, you know, the first edit of it, when we watched it, it was like, okay, let's all sit down and watch it, because we had editors working on it. Ultimately we finished editing it ourselves, but like, all right, let's watch it, cue it up. And it was like, that looks a little long, 3 hours, all right, well, whatever. Yeah. And then it's like, we watched it, and it was like, Jesus, this is really long. What the hell is this? Like, this doesn't work. There's like huge chunks of it that are just boring and weird. And so editing was a huge lesson. Like, we found it in editing, and that was really exciting. But I think that a lot of the notes and a lot of the issues we had were issues in the script, like that first cut that was too long, and there were sections of it that weren't working. Like those were issues that we've had from the beginning in the script, and we kind of just chose to ignore. And so I think one of the things I learned is like just really make the script work.
Yeah.
Like really, really make that feel bulletproof.
Yeah, and you had a great cast too. Like I love Peter Friedman. He's great.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Succession amazing. Now. Yeah. And Moynihan is great. Super funny.
Yeah. It was a great cast. We really lucked out.
Yeah, he plays like the proctologist.
Proctologist. He was he's born to play that role, I think.
Were you, your character's really anxious in that. I mean, like somatic, a lot of somatic anxieties. Was that rooted from, did you grow up seeing a bunch of doctors? It's kind of, you don't have to answer it. It's kind of,
no, personal. It's a great question, and I'm happy to answer anything. You know, my dad grew up, my dad had a chronic illness, diagnosed when I was in 10th grade. He like a blood cancer that now is sort of like, he takes a medication that keeps it, but at the time the technology around, medicine and everything has really evolved.
Yeah.
It's great. But I mean, he still struggles, but for like a decade, it was like a lot of trial and error with treating him. So I grew up with a lot of like medical anxiety around the house,
Yeah.
And, and so I think that informed it. Like it was just kind of like this response to being in this anxious household around people being sick. And my sister had some, emotional issues of her own growing up. Am I cutting out? Can you hear me?
No, you're good.
Okay, good. And so there, and we put some of those in the movie. I think I was really in reaction to a lot of stress and anxiety. And I think that, did it manifest in full blown hypochondria? Like I go through bouts of it, but that was sort of like, a catch all. Like that was like, okay, let's use hypochondria as sort of just like, okay, this is representative of just anxiety in general. Yeah. I used other things that I've experienced to play that character. It wasn't so literal, like this is me, but definitely growing up with medical, people with suffer, worried about illness and all that stuff. Like I was able to use a lot of that, watching my dad go to the doctor, watching my dad go to all kinds of doctors, watching everyone panic and freak out, like definitely a vehicle for that. Yeah. You kind of exaggerate a little bit and like, also just like pick, okay, I'm going to use hypochondria. Like that'll sum everything up. And so, but it was also a lot about, I remember thinking a lot about anxiety about career, right? Like that character is like, it was so much about what do I do? I want to be an artist.
Yeah, exactly. How do I break in? Yeah.
Yeah. But that's so, that's still an intense, we all worry about that all the time. So it was like, that was another part of it that was really important.
Oh man, when you go to that open mic.
Oh yeah.
that's great, man. And then Matt Porter was in it. He was like, I feel like he almost was almost your therapist, like kind of talking you off the ledge, like, hey man, it's all right. And like kind of being there for you. And absolutely. Yeah, you need that. That's like the support element, I think.
It's good to have that. You do need that. You do need that. And like, can you be that for yourself? You need that as well.
Yeah.
But you need those people who are going to be understanding and grounding, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, so then, the Carmen and Moody, right?
Mooney.
Yep. Mooney. I thought it was Moody at first, but then
Moody. That's good.
Maybe because that character, would you say that character is kind of Moody? I mean,
I'd say he's a bit moody. I think there's a darkness. I think I think that's true. I think he has there's a moody quality. It's a different character. I think it's a little more, I think that's a little more like me than the Five Doctors character. Although, I made Five Doctors when I was you know, at this point, a lot younger, like, you know, I don't know, it was 20. I started writing it when I was 24. It was about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago.
Yeah, you're a lot older now.
I'm an old man.
Oh, you cut out again.
Testing.
Okay. Yeah, you're good. You came back.
Okay. It's usually, it's like 30.
You went out again.
Now I hear you.
Yeah. You hear me?
Back?
Yeah, you hear me? I hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay. I was going to say that character Mooney is a little more like the real me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to say I'm moody, then yes.
The Wi-Fi cut out, I didn't think that you were, I didn't see you as moody. I thought you navigated that situation well. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But that character, there's a personal quality for sure. I think, yeah.
Have you ever stole anything? Oh man, you cut out. I wanted to hear that one too. All right.
Let's try this. Now you just asked me if I've stolen anything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good question. I nothing substantial. Like I have never stolen a big thing that I'm like, oh man.
That sounds like you're minimizing it, man.
You think I'm being too modest?
Yeah. Well,
I've stolen stuff. You're right. You know, you're making a good point. I've stolen a lot.
What a rapid change of
expression. I'm a thief.
That's what I see. I knew there was something that you weren't being honest about.
I find it super interesting. I think that we wrote the movies about kleptomania, and it was a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
But other than we're not kleptomaniacs ourselves. We just thought that was an interesting thing. Kate's probably stolen a few things. You'd have to ask her.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then all right. So the next thing is you're gonna make that into a feature.
Not gonna make that into a feature, but
different feature.
We're working on it. It's such early days, but that is the goal. So Kate and I are in a relationship and we work together and write together. So it's a lot of you're navigating a lot together. But
yeah, those can be tough. Those can be difficult waters to chart.
Yes. Oh yeah. And we're we're doing it. We're in couples therapy together about it.
Mm. Okay.
And I'd like you to join sometime.
Sure.
I think the three of us could have a good conversation.
Yeah, we can talk about the things that you stole and that you still didn't mention.
Yeah, because I know you're upset. You feel I'm lying.
Yeah, and we could see how she responds to that.
Right.
How things change.
And then if she responds in a way that's not to your liking, then we can, you know, we'll do something about
Well, no, yeah, I'll try to be unbiased. I mean, I'll try to be objective.
That would be really helpful, actually. Hear the evidence. No, all jokes aside, that would be helpful for our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, we're figuring out how to do it, you know, how to, because really it's a collaboration that's like the ultimate, like we're in a relationship, we're writing, we're doing it all together. So it's like really navigating those waters, but it's really exciting when it works, you know, because it's like, especially when we're telling sort of personal stories that are so intimate. It's nice to have a partner that really gets in there with you. At the same time, it can be a lot to figure out how to do all of that at once, like be in a partnership and do, you know, and write. But I mean, for us, it's been really exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Well, it was exciting to talk to you, see your work, and I still don't know what you stole, but it's okay. Some things you got to keep to yourself, you know, like it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it would be useful for me to tell you what I've stolen.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah.
Let's just put it this way: you'll know sooner. You'll see a headline.
Oh.
It'll probably be an intense experience.
All right.
For you.
Well, I don't have a subscription to the New York Times, but I can.
You don't.
I can initiate one.
Yeah, steal one.
I'll steal one online. I'll get your father to help me hack someone's computer so that I can steal their subscription and hack onto it.
Wow,
that's my plan.
That's a good plan.
Well, I hope the rain continues if you want it to. And
yes, it was so great talking to you. And how often do you, just can I add, like how do you what was the impetus for this show for you? Like, it's such an interesting because it's sort of mental health and film and what inspired you to, you know,
just that, like the mental health and film, like something that I did, I felt like I could see it in some ways. I feel like it wasn't necessarily acknowledged. I mean, it was acknowledged in film, but more like overtly, like it was acknowledged in something like Analyze This, but it wasn't necessarily, I felt like there was just another step and I felt like I didn't see it. So I wanted to, I wanted to initiate that step.
I love that.
I mean, I could have stolen something from someone else and made something really, like, you know, kind of not
original.
You could
have stolen an idea, another podcast idea, like a true crime or a...
Yeah,
or
which a, I'm not, yeah, I'm not really into. It's like the crime. No, I mean, it wouldn't have been authentic. I'm not a crime guy. Yeah.
No, there's so many of those. And, you know, they can be riveting, but this is more authentic. I feel like this is pretty authentic. I mean, it's a great idea. And I listened to a few of your other episodes. And I thought they were great.
That's nice.
And I'm really, it's great. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much. And I hope the feature goes well. And
you,
I'm sure it will. And this was fun, man.
All right, great. Well, great talking to you. And keep in touch for sure.